This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I love that vehicle. You'll love it, too. They got more of them out there on the lot. They got lots of goals at Landers, but their number one goal is simple, and that is to ensure their customers are totally satisfied. So get down there and let them show you how they make it happen. Go visit them, Goodman Road in South Haven, or on the web, LandersMemphis.com. Landers Auto Sales. If it doesn't say Landers, you pay too much.
Psst, down here.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to the Xfinity store. Why are you hiding?
Cameras and microphones are everywhere, even in my house. What if I'm hacked? They're watching me.
Oh, with Xfinity XFi, you don't have to worry. It gives you enhanced security for your Wi-Fi network, so all your connected devices are protected, including mics and cameras.
Oh, that sounds great. Can you imagine if we were actually being recorded right now?
We are being recorded for this commercial.
Oh, I trusted you.
If it's connected, it's protected with Xfinity XFi. That's simple, easy, awesome. Ask how to get download speeds up to 400 megabits per second, or even faster, up to a gig. Learn more or get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Plus, add XFi Advantage for enhanced network security. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay, and 6/24/19. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a Radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN. Well, broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled in my closet, threw my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt.
Hi, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the Chris Harrington thing.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
It's a Sunday Morning Coming Down, the Johnny Cash version of the Kris Kristofferson song, which is about a hangover. Sending that out to Marc Gasol, who probably has a hangover today and has been known to be a Johnny Cash fan.
Were you surprised by Marc yesterday?
I was. I mean, when the parade first started and I was like working on stuff and I had my Twitter feed and so I was sort of glancing over, I didn't see any Marc stuff for a while and I thought, oh, I wonder if Marc, did Marc like dip out on this or is there not going to be any Marc? And then suddenly, like, the floodgates opened, and it was just, like, the full-on, like, I was even showing my wife last night, and my son was laughing about it. He's eight. He's nine now. But just watching Marc Gasol, like, lose his mind all day on that parade float.
Yeah, I think it could have gone completely the other way. You could have seen Marc thing, I'm above this. We just play basketball the right way. I don't want this frivolity is beneath me. And instead, we had full Laws and Mark.
It was like
out.
Something at Animal House, right? It was like Bluto Blatarski or whatever. Of
guys,
we
just got exclusive audio. Mark has now responded to all the criticism.
You know, overall, we want to.
Yes. He went full. That was really quite something. And I think most people were just amused by it. It was just fun.
Yes. No,
it was hilarious.
Total amusement, yes.
Okay, so...
It makes you wonder. I know you're talking about like what a parade in Memphis would be like. What I thought about was not necessarily a route when I was watching that. I thought, what would a grit grind era championship parade... I mean, can you imagine Marc Gasol and Tony Allen and Zach Randolph on one of these things?
Yes, it would have been absolutely nuts, Tony. In terms of the route, you pointed out that Gary had he wanted to go down Poplar.
And go past 201 in the Bell Bond Shops.
201 in the Bell Bond Shops.
Would not be the route I would choose.
Then he said turn on Danny Thomas. Now, we have some other – Twitter has given us some other options here. Let me just see. I haven't even thought these through. I'm just going to read them out. One says start at Bass Pro, go down Riverside, down front –
Riverside and Front are parallel, so I'm a little confused already.
Go down Riverside. I think start at Bass Pro. I mean, it must be go up Riverside, up the hill there, right? Around the curve. And then come around back through downtown on Front Street.
So you're doing a loop. You're going all the way down Riverside and then coming back down Front.
And then he wants you to go through St. Jude, which I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Whatever. And it's and then back to Beale. I do think you want to end up, okay, then there's this one. Start on Beale, down to Front. Take Front to Poplar. I don't even know what this means. Turn right and take that S all the way to Birmingham.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that one means. I think you need to go to here's what I believe is requisite as part of this. I think going down Beale Street has to be part of it, and I think ending up at Tom Lee Park should be part
of
it.
See, I had not—the Tom Lee Park thing I hadn't thought about, and that's probably a good idea. I had not thought about the angle of what people see on TV outside of Memphis.
Right.
I just thought about it as an experience in Memphis, and so I'd always thought, like, you know, maybe you stage it, you begin at, like, you know, Central Station or where the farmer's market is or whatever, that end.
Oh, that's a good staging
You go down
place.
Main, all the way down Main to Beale, turn up Beale, and then either up you Beale. Go to FedEx Forum Plaza or you take a left and you go to AutoZone Park and you end up in AutoZone Park.
Oh, AutoZone Park would be another.
Yeah, that's a possibility. That's not as big as Tom Lee Park.
You want to beat people on the field at AutoZone Park, or where are they
in the stands,
be?
On the field, however you set it up. Right. I mean, you just have a big gathering place there to end up, right?
I mean, if they're just in the stands, it's only 8,000, 10,000 people or something like that. That's not enough. You have to have them on the field.
Yeah, you're right. But maybe Tom Lee Park is better. I think Tom Lee Park probably is better.
And then you get
I would worry about you having, like, this barrier of the river and, like, potential, like, complications. But you do the music fest there every year, and so it's not like people are going to be more drunk at the championship parade than they already are at music fest.
Unless Mark is there. Mark's going to be the Brett Hull of this one. He's going to be parachuting in for this one, too.
Right.
What does it take, by the way?
So maybe you start at AutoZone, you go past FedEx Forum, Beale Street, FedEx Forum, and go down to Tom Lee Park. I don't know. Here you go.
Start
at AutoZone, go down Beale, and then take Main down and loop around to Riverside and end up at Tom Lee Park. So you have parade down Main Street that loops down, then down Riverside to Tom Lee.
Right.
You end up at Tom Lee.
Right. And then you do the celebrate, the introduce, the speeches, and all of that are at Tom Lee.
And then, people who are at Beale and Main watching the parade route can easily drift down to Tom Lee Park for
people
the final thing.
Yeah, and people can be on tops of buildings looking down into the thing like they do. It'll be fun. Done. Yeah.
I'll call Kyle Vesey later. We'll have them update whatever their contingency plans are.
They're not going to win the title the next 40 years, though, are they? I gave myself 30 years.
It's always unlikely. I mean, there's.
What does it take?
Well, I think there's different kinds of title teams. And so I think when we talk about title teams, we tend to think of, like, the classic title teams, like the dynasty kind of title teams. I think the odds are if the Grizzlies win a title, it's going to be like the squeak-through title team, like the one-off title team.
Is that
more likely?
Toronto's a squeak-through title team. Dallas is a squeak-through
title
team.
Could be. Dallas, the Pistons team with Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups and Tayshaun, like those guys. So I think the idea of putting together some multi-year dynasty-style contender seems unlikely anywhere, but less likely in a smaller market. So I think, you know, the squeak through, like you have a good team and, like, everything breaks right, and you have the one, you know, year where it just happens to break right. That's the more likely scenario.
Could everyone holds up that Detroit team because there was no superstar on. There were stars on that team, but there was no superstar. Best player on that team was who?
It was really debatable. Chauncey Billups, I would say, was the best player on that team. I mean, Ben Wallace was, like, defensive player of the year.
Was Rasheed on that team?
Yeah, it was Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace. That's a really balanced team.
Very balanced, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, in the era of superstar teams, super teams,
right?
Can a team like that still?
Maybe.
Is there always going to be a constellation of stars somewhere that's going to be better than that team of five very good players?
You take that same Pistons team and put them in the finals against Golden State right now. I think they could have beaten Golden State finals.
No,
sure.
You're right. If with that debilitated Golden State.
Yeah.
Team.
No, you have to catch the right breaks, right? And the right breaks are, like, literal, unfortunately, ruptures or whatever. And so that's what happens.
Right.
You know, that Pistons team faced a Lakers team that was supposed to be a juggernaut and, like, things went awry with that Lakers team. It wasn't as good as people thought it would be. That was the Karl Malone, Gary Payton, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're not a dominant talent, you got to catch some breaks. And so if it ever happened, that would be the way it happened. But, like, the Grizzlies, there are now 11 teams of 30 NBA franchises, there are 11 who have never won a title. And the Grizzlies are either the newest or second newest, I guess, after the Bobcats Hornets team.
Right.
Like, so there's like, there are nine other franchises that have a longer, quote unquote, drought without a title than the Grizzlies have had. I think the Suns, it's like 50 years.
And they've had good teams.
Yeah.
Suns have had very good teams.
They've been in the finals.
They went to the finals, what, with Barkley? Did they go to the
finals? In 93, and I think they with Barkley, and then they were close with all those Steve Nash teams. And I think they were in the finals, like, in the 70s once, maybe against the Bullets, but I'm not quite certain about that.
Was that Alvin Adams, or was that Alvin Adams was on the—
Maybe. You were more cognizant in those days than I was. Right. I was like 3 years old or whatever.
Okay, onward and upward. So, Mike Conley, the news comes out yesterday that trade talks are, quote-unquote, heating up, whatever that means. And
intensifying was the word of the day.
Intensifying. Trade talks are intensifying. And yet, if you look at what Utah has to offer—
Right.
No one really likes excited by it because mostly because the pick is so so drab.
I mean, Utah is not my favorite scenario at all. I will say, when you're talking about the kind of trade the Grizzlies are trying to make, and you know the kind of trade they made with Marc Gasol, the kind of trade they made with Pau Gasol once upon a time, a rebuilding trade. There are three types of value you're pursuing in a rebuilding trade, and we mostly only talk about two of those. There is draft picks, like what's a good draft pick, and Utah is maybe the worst of all the possible scenarios. They may have the worst draft pick at 23. And then you this question about, well, future draft picks and protections. I don't have a lot of faith in good draft pick value coming back from Utah. Then the second thing is, like, what about actual players? What's the good young players you can get back? And the best good young player, not even good, the best young player you get back from Utah is probably Grayson Allen. Like, who cares about that, right? But the third piece of value, and this was the primary value in the Pau Gasol trade once upon a time, is the creation of cap space and flexibility. And people sort of yawn or roll their eyes at that. But like that, because
it's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. That's how you get Zach Randolph, you know?
Well, and it's also how if you're Brooklyn, you ended up getting first round picks. The first round pick that you do not get from category one, you can, by taking on a bad contract later,
well,
get first round picks.
That's what Atlanta did 2 weeks ago.
Right, exactly.
They took a bad contract from Brooklyn and got two first round picks for it. And I noted in what I wrote, it just so happens, and I'm just connecting dots. I have no intel on anything, but just as an illustration, Mark Stein reported yesterday that the Milwaukee is trying to get off a couple of their contracts, Tony Snell and Ersan Ilyasova, and they're willing to trade draft picks to get off of those contracts. The message there being they have all these other free agents that need to re-sign. They don't want to pay luxury tax. And so if you're the Grizzlies and you make some deal with Utah that creates immediate cap space right now, is there a chance that you flip that cap space and get a first-round pick from Milwaukee? So maybe you're getting two first-round picks from Utah and cap space, and you turn that cap space into a first-round pick from Milwaukee. Like, I don't know. But my point being that the primary thing that I think you get back in a Utah trade is the cap space. And the question is, how much do you value that, and what do you think you can do with it?
And that's, of course, if you don't get Favors coming back or something like that.
Even if Favors comes back, you're still gonna clear half of that money, like, right now.
Right.
Favors is, like, half of Conley. And the Jazz have the cap space to absorb the difference, right? And
that's cap space that would then be useful. I mean, there's some cap space that there will be actual cap room under the cap if you did that.
It depends on other moves. There's this order of operations question. I sort of wrote about that a little bit. I didn't get into the details because it would have been too Byzantine. But in theory, it's like, okay, when do you make the Conley trade? When do you re-sign Jonas Valanciunas? Because if you re-sign him, that number is going to be lower than his current cap hold. His cap hold right now is $24 million. On your books, Jonas Valanciunas is $24 million.
Right.
You're not going to sign him for $24 million. So you sign that creates space. You renounce Justin Holiday, that does something. You buy out Avery Bradley. You get into a tricky order of operations territory when you're stacking up different moves and transactions. And if there's a deal with Utah, I think there's probably an order of operations you could pursue that would create cap space right now. And if that's the case, the question is, what, if anything, can you do with it that is productive to your team? And that gets complicated. It's a lot easier just to say, like, what draft pick and what player are you getting in a trade? Some trades are not like that. And a Utah trade would not be like that.
It's, I saw Peter tweeting that I don't want these picks from Utah. I want picks in 2025 or 20. They're just not going to do that.
That's been, like, my friend Matt Herlicka, his big thing has been the big thing that the Grizzlies should be pursuing is an unprotected pick in 20, blah, blah, blah.
Who the hell gives you that?
Yeah, I agree with him. I have zero faith in you getting that in a Mike Conley trade, so I just haven't even bothered writing about that.
You're not getting that. People aren't dumb.
Yes. I don't think that is out there for you. And so I haven't even brought that up in anything I've written because I don't believe in that as a thing you're going to get back in any trade.
What did you think of the theory that what we heard a lot yesterday was this was the Grizzlies trying to float that they're close to Utah and Gary's in order to drum up other offers. Gary's point was, you know what? If we figure that out, like, right, who's falling for that BS?
I don't have a lot of faith in those kind of conspiracy theories about information. I mean, information control and information warfare is not the right word, but, like, whatever, like, you know, information stuff is a commodity in the NBA, right, and it does matter, but I can't read.
I think people have so much more information than we know.
Here's the thing about the Utah stuff, because there was stuff recently about saying that the Utah front office was mad that the Grizzlies had leaked stuff at the deadline. That came out. Both at the deadline and now, all the Utah stuff is either coming from Shams, right, who has not been known as a Grizzlies necessarily, you know, or it's coming from Utah reporters. It's coming from, like, Tony Jones, who's the Utah guy at The Athletic. Like, why, if Tony Jones has all this information in February and now about Jazz negotiations with the Grizzlies, my assumption is that it's not coming from the Grizzlies. And so,
right,
you know, if the best information is a guy in Utah, I don't assume that's the Grizzlies putting something out.
No, if the Grizzlies are putting something out, you might expect it to come out through Woj.
Right.
Right. You would expect it to come out through Woj.
Like the Jonas Valanciunas thing.
Like the Jonas Valanciunas thing. So, okay. So the problem is that we look around. You say, we're not that impressed with the Utah thing. Or maybe we are, given the cap space issues. There's no real, and we don't know, there's no real evidence that any of this other stuff is unfolding.
No, I mean, the Utah thing is the thing that's the most solid, but, and even that is, you know, is rumory. But, you know, I think we know that at one point Indiana, like back at the deadline, Indiana was in the mix. We don't know if they're back in the mix. I think we pretty well know that Detroit back at the deadline was maybe in the mix a little bit. We don't know if they're back in the mix. There was some actual reporting out of Miami a few weeks ago that the Miami had some interest. We don't know if there's anything there. There was some extremely minor reporting, you know, maybe a month or so ago out of Minnesota that maybe Minnesota was interested. We don't know if there's anything there. I think Steve Kyler on your show yesterday just said offhand, hey, Orlando's interested. Well, that hasn't been reported anywhere other than him talking on your show, but it would make sense to me. That would, that passes the smell test, but we don't know. So there's a lot of we don't know. And the Boston stuff is all just people theorizing.
Okay, and what's the distinction in terms of whether this gets done before or after the Thursday night?
Well, this is, to me, the biggest question, and that's sort of the question. That was sort of my title question, like, is this the week, right? The Grizzlies could have traded Conley at the deadline. They had offers. They could have dealt him. They decided, we can wait. It'll be better in the summer. So now here we are. We're in the summer. Well, the summer is two different things. The summer is this week around the draft. That's one pocket of time in which to trade Mike Conley. And if you don't, you can wait until free agency, and that's another pocket of time. And so the question of if it's going to happen, does it happen this week, or do you wait until July? And I think there's different rationales for either of those approaches. One reason to wait would be that the point guard free agent market is still unsettled. And so you have Kyrie Irving, who's a free agent, Kemba Walker is a free agent, and D'Angelo Russell is a free agent. I don't know that the Kemba Walker thing is going to have any impact on Mike Conley, but let's say Kyrie Irving leaves Boston and goes to Brooklyn, which is the most common assumption.
Right.
Well, A, that puts Boston potentially in play, but the real question there is if Kyrie Irving goes to Brooklyn, then D'Angelo Russell, who's a free agent from Brooklyn, is probably going somewhere else. The teams that likely interest in D'Angelo Russell, Utah, Indiana, Minnesota, Orlando, these are a lot of the same teams we're talking about. And so my question would be, Of those teams who have one eye on D'Angelo Russell in July, how many of those teams are willing to make an offer on Mike Conley this week? And which of those are saying, we're going to hold off on that. We want to see what happens with D'Angelo Russell before we make an offer on Mike Conley. And if the Grizzlies, you have to calculate, like, is there a better offer that's going to be out there in July if we wait? And there's a risk in that calculation. Because I do think they don't have to trade Mike Conley this summer, but I think both sides really want that to happen. I think there's pressure to get something done this summer. Like, I don't think you'd trade him just to trade him. I think you do have a threshold you need to meet. But I think that threshold is fairly low is my guess, right? Right. I don't think either side necessarily wants to go into the season.
Well, that was what I was going to ask, is that in the end, in terms of the advantages, by the way, of doing it right now, I don't put a whole lot of stock in picking the guy you want at 23. Like, that is one of the advantages to
– Right.
23 is such a relatively of little value that whether it's your pick at 23 or their pick at 23,
right.
I don't really particularly – that to me doesn't move the needle. What moves the needle would be whether you're persuaded that the packages will be better on the second pocket that you described.
Well,
I'm curious.
You know,
go ahead. Yeah.
Is Indiana making you an offer now? Or is Indiana waiting
to
say we want to see what happens to D'Angelo Russell? So who is making you an offer? How good are the offers? And do you believe that some of these teams are more likely to make better offers in July? And that to me is the calculation. And
we can't know because we don't know who's making them offers now.
Right.
But my instinct would think that the offers would get better in July. Because then there are teams that will they're no longer harboring hopes.
Right.
They know they don't have this player.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably right, but that again carries risk and carries uncertainty. And if you want to get a deal done this summer, you know, there's a chance they don't get better. There's a chance they get worse. And so that's sort of a risk. And so to me, I sort of feel like they should have a threshold in mind. And if that threshold gets met this week, I think it probably gets done this week.
If the threat does two firsts from Utah and being the next two, this year's and next,
right.
And then some collection of – so does that meet the threshold for you?
I think two firsts from Utah and significant cap space both now and then even more so when you go to the next summer where it totally comes off the books. Yeah, I think that probably meets the threshold.
That meets the threshold. And that gets us to the level you were saying, the last thing. How willing are they to say, screw it, we're going to go into the season? I think it is awkward. Like, people are always right. Like, Mike's such a nice guy, it's not awkward. He clearly wants to be out. Clearly want to move on.
If you paid attention, I wrote up with this in sort of my lead. If you paid attention this summer, like, you know, the draft lottery, Jaren Jackson's at the draft lottery. Like, when they introduced Taylor Jenkins, like, Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks are there. And, you know, Jaren Jackson is tweeting at Ja Morant. And, like, Dylan Brooks and Bruno Caboclo are at Barbecue Fest. And, like, Mike Conley is totally silent both in person. He's absent in person and silent on social media about anything related to the Grizzlies. The one thing was, you know, he congratulated Mark, which is not a Grizzlies thing. That's right. His friend Mark. And then at Taylor Jenkins' press conference, he said, you know, he talked to Mike Conley, and what he said about that conversation was, Mike said he was happy for me. You know,
right.
Not Mike's excited to get to work,
hey, roll up his sleeves.
Congratulations right. on your job. Like, you know, I'll see you when whoever team comes back to town, you know. And so I think...
I mean, he is a good guy, and he wouldn't right. be a troublemaker, but yeah. it would be awkward. It just would.
Like, I do think the rationale that Gary presented is the right rationale. It is, if you don't find a deal you like, I think you do say to Conley, and this wouldn't be spin, this would be real. It would be like, there's just not something out there that's good for either of us right now, and we think there might be something better for both of us if we wait till February. That is a real thing.
Right. The piece is up at the Daily Memphian. You can read it over there now. Chris Harrington will rejoin us tomorrow. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jessica Benson is going to join us, sports reporter for ABC 24 and CW 30. She will join us next. Jeff Cockatoo, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
Ever find yourself in the middle of a project and need a specific tool? You just want to get the tool, get in, get out, and get back to work. So, get yourself over to We Sell Tools and find the tools you need, the people to answer questions, and help you find your tool fast so you can be working, not shopping. We sell tools, real tools for real guys, at the northeast corner of Kirby Whitten Road and Summer Avenue.
It is that time of year. Time to get out of the house and try something new, get together with friends, maybe plan a family gathering, and there's no better place to do it than Bounty on Broad, the beautiful farm-to-table restaurant that makes you feel happy as soon as you walk in the door. Try the brunch menu, which may be the best in town. They've got barbecue Benedict with smoked pork shoulder, green cabbage slaw, and poached eggs. They've got waffle Foster with brandied bananas, whipped cream, toasted almond, and powdered sugar. They've got smoked Gouda grits, braised collard greens, and of course, they have the fried Gulf oysters tossed in cornmeal, which are simply the best fried oysters I've ever had. Add a mimosa or a glass of wine, and at Bounty, because of their unique Coravin wine system, all their wines are available by the glass, and it'll be the perfect meal. Bounty can accommodate private parties from 12 all the way up to 200 guests. It's located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Call them today at 901-410-8131.
JJ Hottail here. As an ex-professional race car driver, I'm used to taking risks, which isn't always so good when it comes to driving off the track.
Uh-oh.
But that's why I'm insured by Direct Auto and Life Insurance. I can get a great rate regardless of my driving history. They understand that nobody's perfect. Hello, officer. Save up to 25% with discounts at Direct Auto. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today.
Direct General Group Nashville. Rates vary, discounts subject to limitations, terms, and conditions. How you buy impacts cost.
Your Mid-South Ford dealers present Lee Bryce live at the Memphis Botanic Gardens Saturday, August 24th.
There's a rumor going round.
See country artist Lee Bryce perform his biggest hits live.
I drive your truck.
Tickets are on sale now at 941thewolf.com or Ticketmaster.com. Lee Bryce, August 24th at the Memphis Botanic Garden, presented by your Mid-South Ford dealers.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
To the bright side of the road. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jessica Benson, covers sports for ABC 24 CW30. Host of the Still Not Engaged podcast. Season one is available, even though, in fact, she is now engaged. On Twitter, at Local24Jessica, she joins me now. Jessica, how are you?
I'm good. I think I probably feel a little bit better than Marc Gasol this morning.
I think Marc Gasol does not feel great this morning.
I would love to know what Canadian hangover food is. Like, is it fries?
It's got to be poutine. Like, Isn't poutine the perfect hangover food? I mean, it's greasy.
Yeah, I feel like that works perfectly. Like, soaks it all up, gets you ready for the next day.
Yeah.
But he might need a full thing of poutine.
Were you surprised that Mark? I was surprised. I did not expect that outburst of frivolity from Mark.
Yes, I was super surprised. First of all, it's really hard to chug wine. Like, I've tried. That's a difficult thing to do. So props to him for being a NBA champ and a wine-chugging champ. But I almost was watching all of those videos that came out yesterday, and everyone was seemingly greater than the one before. And it kind of felt like we got cheated here in Memphis because Toronto gets wine-chugging, crazy, drunk in a parade Mark, and we got tends his own vegetable garden, Mark. A very different.
Now we just didn't have as many happy moments. We got the Conor McGregor walk, Mark.
Like, that's
we
true. Got. And I think yesterday I was thinking when I was seeing those videos, I was like, I think these now trump the when you have to look for a GIF to describe Marc Gasol, the Conor McGregor walk has now been archived, and you have to use the Mark parade.
Yeah, that Mark Parade thing was just, it was fun. We've been talking about the route on where, when the Memphis inevitably wins, whether it's the Tigers or the Grizzlies, the title. Do you have your own personal parade route that we should, and where should it end up? The thoughts are either AutoZone Park in the front of FedEx Forum, where it could end up, maybe the plaza in front of City Hall, Tom Lee Park, Fairgrounds, I guess, maybe? Like, is there any other – where would you have it end up?
I don't know. Listening to you guys talk about it, it feels like it has to be Tom Lee Park once you put that as the end, as an option,
right?
Just because the amount of space and, again, the visuals that you would get from a national audience watching the, Memphis Championship Parade, which, by the way, is why I love living in Memphis and covering Memphis sports, because everyone is all in on planning a hypothetical championship parade that, like you said, most likely is never going to happen. But I love the fact that we are so enthused that were thinking about it and having like these imaginary dreams. But yeah, I think you have to go down Beale just because like you can't not. And I like the idea of including Maine in it too, because I'm a downtowner. I live downtown, and I think Maine is a very underrated street.
What part of Maine? Where do you is? Some of Maine is still blocked off, right? It's not through traffic.
Right. So I think you could go down Beale, and then turn onto South Maine right off of Beale, past the Orpheum, walk down to like the arcade-ish area. I don't know. Is there a way to get down to the river from there? My run route doesn't work that way. So directions are not my forte.
Right.
I
don't know. Could you go all the way down? Could you just keep going all the way south until you hit Riverside and then come curving down Riverside?
Yeah, I think that could work. And then you have a little more space, and then you end at the backside of the river, which would be similar to the main stage at Beale Street Music Festival, and then you just fill out the park as you go.
Have you ever had, I don't know what your teams are, of the teams are your youth, have you ever had a team win a title? I've never in all my years had one of my teams win a title. I don't know what that feels like. I like to think that inside I would be Marc Gasol-ing it, but I know exterior, I know I would not be doing that in actual fact. But have you ever had a team win a title that you cared about?
The only team that I really was full on behind in state. I grew up a Yankees fan, so I had that from afar. But my fiance just booed in the back. Fantastic. He's a Giants fan.
That's fantastic. Yes.
But I was a huge Colorado Avalanche fan. Like, I went through a period in my life where I went around telling people that I was going to be the first woman NHL player, which was a short-lived, very short-lived dream there. But so when the Avs won the Stanley Cup in 2001, I went down to the parade with my
dad.
We had been to a couple of the games. And yeah, and it's crazy. And from a kid perspective, I mean, I was pretty young then. I won't go into specific age, but from a childlike perspective, that just helps you fuel your future love of sports in general.
So that was
how cool it is to win and to see
to be part of something, to connect.
Be a part of a bigger thing.
Were you, was that the Patrick Waugh, Forsberg? Is that who was on that team?
It was, yeah. And I had a Forsberg jersey. I still have that jersey, actually.
And you have a Forsberg jersey. Okay, so the Memphis Tigers, we actually today, and I don't know whether you are on duty or not. If so, I'll make sure I wear my dad's shoes and stand in the right place so I can make the shot over there at ABC 24 and CW30. We're talking to the Memphis Tiger freshman today. I don't know which freshman. What are the chances the Memphis Tigers win a title in the next 5 years?
Well, first of all, you're safe. I want you to know. You can
wear
whatever shoes you want. I am off today. It's been a weird thing in my brain. Like, I'm off today, but I feel like I almost want to go. So maybe now, just for kicks, I'll pop over. Because it is exciting. And when you talk about the chance of the Memphis Tigers winning a title, this is what I tell everyone in Memphis who asks me my fine opinion. Like, yes, you have the talent, and yes, you have Penny Hardaway. It's still really flipping hard to win a title. It's still really flipping hard to go to a Final Four. Like, that's four teams every year. So I think the odds are certainly greater than the Grizzlies winning a championship in the next 5, 6, 7 years. But with the Tigers, I mean, I think it comes down to they have the talent, or they presumably will have the talent moving forward. Do they have the luck that goes with it and the tournament luck that we see every year in March? So it's so hard to predict. But I think you at least have a little bit better of a feeling that the Tigers can be in it and can give that chance feeling for all of the fans here in Memphis.
I'll tell you what's interesting to me is what's weird about it is it seems incredibly hard for the Tigers to win a title because it's so random, right? Because it's just one game and who knows, and it's random. It feels like it's hard for the Grizzlies to win a title because it's not random, because the best teams win and what are the odds you're going to be a best team? Weirdly enough, it is. Like, it was a little random the Toronto won this year because of the collection of injuries, et cetera. Oh, I have to ask about Chris and how he's doing in the wake of all of this. But it's just the opposite. Like, the Tigers will have the talent, it feels like, but it's just random. You don't know. And then the Grizzlies, what are the odds? It's a totally different enterprise to win an NBA title than a Tiger title. And in both ways, it feels like it's a little bit stacked against the team from Memphis.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for Chris, he is surprisingly calm, cool, and collected. We watched that final game last Thursday, and we have recently signed up for an app called Rover, which is where you watch strangers' dogs. Sounds very safe.
What?
We did pass the background check. But so if you have dogs, send them our way. We're trying to make a little extra wedding planning money.
Wait,
but
you take care of – for a moment I thought it was sort of like – a voyeurism. You watch other strangers' dogs. No,
you take care of those dogs. You hopefully don't kill them.
You are babysitting other people's dogs for cash?
Yeah. And we made $30 watching the Warriors lose the title while watching a giant 90-pound Doberman Pinscher.
Does the dog come to your home?
So this case was a really weird case. It was a family driving from California to Georgia. And they were in Memphis for the night, and the dog parents wanted to go out and not have to worry about their dog. So they were in a hotel downtown Memphis, and they asked us to come watch their dog in the hotel and literally just sit with their dog. And
so you
never
had
even had to take
a strange Doberman Pinscher in your house watching. So what other the other ones are available, like on Rover? How else does it work? Like, who else would you watch? They all come to your house, though. You're not.
No. We went to their hotel. Like, we sat
really?
In their hotel with their, which, would I let strangers into my hotel room? Probably not, but I'm really grateful that these fine people did, because we were able to make a couple bucks while watching the game. So, but I joked that I gave Chris a service dog for the final game, and it worked.
So how? But explain to me how else it works. So that's one circumstance.
Well, we don't really know, Jeff. We've had one client in our week and a half of being on Rover. So we're hoping that it means they gave us a 5-star review. So, like, we have the reviews backing us now. And you can trust us with your dog, random listeners. But if you go on the app Rover and you request a time for your dog to either be watched at your place, we do have the option where the dog can come to us, or we can just go walk the dog. And you have different fees for whatever it is, and it's like the modern-day babysitting for pets, I guess.
This is unbelievable. I'm surprised, too, that two glamorous TV people, I thought you were rolling in money. I didn't realize you'd be rovering.
Yeah, we are. We just wanted to roll in more money. You know? That's my favorite misconception about
of local television journalists.
Absolutely, my favorite. Yeah, so we're trying.
Let me ask you this:
make a little side hustle.
Yeah,
here.
Okay. Final question, unrelated to sports. So Alton Brown, Jeffrey, do we have this clip? Alton Brown, where was this from? Do we know where this was from? He was on a food show recently. That's what he does, of course, talking about food. And he was on some podcast, and he was asked to talk about great food towns. And here is Alton Brown. I'll let you listen.
The podcast, for the record, is The Eater Upsell.
The Eater Upsell?
Correct. And this is episode 17 with Alton Brown.
Okay, here we go.
I would say that going by, I do this when I'm on tour, I do this thing called AB Road Eats, which is online or a social media food thing that I do. We ask people everywhere we go, you know, where should I eat, and, you know, go there and then do reviews and things. And I've got to say, Memphis, Tennessee, probably my number one food town in the U.S.
It's a hell of a town.
What is it? What's the thing? Or what are the
Gibson's frickin' Donuts, man. Outside of Memphis proper is this donut place called Gibson's, which makes not just the best donut in the United States, but as far as I'm concerned, if all the other donuts went away and I still had Gibson's, I'd be okay. They've also got the best chicken and maybe the best hamburger in the United States. So Memphis good.
Are the hamburger and the chicken are also at Gus's, or they're in Memphis in general?
No, no, no.
Or at,
I mean,
at Gibson's,
No. You got to go with Gus's for the chicken.
I just preempted that.
I would say Dryers on Beale Street for the burger.
Yeah.
Pretty fine stuff. But just a great, 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 great food town.
Okay. He just called Memphis the best food town in America. I am a Memphis supporter, and I think Memphis is a pretty damn good food town. It is not the best food town in America, is it?
I don't think so. I think it's way underrated. Like, I get a little, I've been here long enough now that I get heated when it's left off of lists, and God forbid we go back to the Nashville barbecue debate of 2019. But I don't think it's the best. Like, we were just in New York City, and the thing that's so cool about New York City is you can eat at like a different place every night for 5 years, and you still wouldn't have hit every single place. But Memphis, for what it is, and for where we are,
for per capita, you think per capita,
yeah,
we might be one of the best food towns.
Yeah, I would say we're one of the best mid. What do we call
mid major? You think we're a mid major? We're a mid major food town.
Mid major was a bad word in my household, so I think
we're a power six food town. Is what we are. We're a power six food town.
I think that is the perfect branding, and we need to get on it immediately. But like, I mean, even the things that he said, like, yeah, Gus's Fried. My dad was in town for Father's Day, and we took him to Gus's Fried Chicken, and he said, "This is the best fried chicken I've ever had," and. Dyer's Burgers.
He called it. I think he called it Dryers. I think he lost some credibility there.
He did call it Dryers. I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but Dyer's.
And I don't actually think the Dyer's Burger is that great. It's fine. It's fine burger, but I don't think it's the best burger.
It's a great 2 a.m. burger. Like, it's not a burger I'm going to seek out sober necessarily, but it's a great end of the night.
I love Gibson's. Is Gibson's get so much love that it's overrated?
Yes. I believe so.
This is heresy. What we're engaging in right now is heresy, food heresy.
I know, and I love Gibson's. And we'll.
I do too. I love the atmosphere at Gibson's. My kids grew up on Gibson's. It is amazing how much we used to, when I was at the CA, Louis Graham was the editor, and I think he banned Gibson's mentions for a while because it was so. Like, it got so much free publicity. We just mentioned Gibson's all the time. I've written columns about Gibson's. I love Gibson's, but it is funny. Like, is it? I actually think Gus's is as good compared to the fried chicken world as Gibson's is compared to the donut world. And maybe, I hope Don isn't listening right now. It may be better.
Yeah. I don't know. With Gibson's, I mean, when we first moved to Memphis, everyone says, you know, you ask your original places, where do you have to go? And everyone says, oh, you have to go out to Gibson's. And so we went out to Gibson's, and naturally we loved it. Great donuts. But we actually had, this is a random tangent of a story. We had this little donut shop downtown Memphis that was just called the Donut Shop. And it was down on Main, down by the Walgreens. And it was a little hole in the wall. And I swear to you, they made the best donuts that I have ever tasted in my entire life. And
is it
one
gone?
Day we walked down there. And it was closed, and it never opened again.
Really?
And we still talk about it. To this day, we still miss those donuts. They got us through our first fall.
It is nice that Alton Brown loves us so much, though. That's always fun. Jessica, you're nice to join us. I appreciate it. Follow her on Twitter, at Local24Jessica. And, of course, watch her on ABC 24 and CW30. Thank you, Jessica.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right. We got to take a break. Back in a moment with the one story you've been waiting for. It's Jeff Cockatrice, 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 presents the official Jason and John Memphis Draft Party on Thursday night, June 20th from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Join 92.9's Jason and John and watch the NBA draft at our draft party at the Bluff on Highland with Grizzly Bear Blues, SB Nation, and Joe Mullinax, along with I Love Memphis's Holly Whitfield. The 2019 NBA Draft Party at the Bluff on Highland. On Thursday night, June 20th, with 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face. And there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
If you're a paint contractor, the Home Depot is here to save you money. You can get the same or better quality paint as you do at paint stores, but you also get one thing paint stores don't have: low prices every day on every gallon of high-quality Behr paint, stains, and primers. Plus, for pros, volume discounts. How much are you paying per gallon? At the Home Depot, you pay less for Behr paint every day, like Behr Pro paint starting at just $15.48 a gallon. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
When you compare the Humana Gold Plus HMO plan with other plans, there's no comparison. That's because it's Tennessee's only 5 out of 5-star CMS-rated Medicare Advantage HMO plan. the only one. No other Medicare Advantage HMO plan in Tennessee received excellent ratings from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in all five categories, including managing chronic conditions, helping members stay healthy, and providing a great member experience. And there's no need to wait. You can switch out of your current plan and enroll in the Humana Gold Plus HMO H4661 anytime you want. Like right now, for instance. Find out why this Humana plan has no comparison. And make the switch by calling a licensed Humana sales agent at 1-800-526-5339 or visiting Humana.com. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO organization with a Medicare contract. Every year, Medicare evaluates plans based on a 5-star rating system. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses big and small go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary. Because beyond a simple transaction, there's making a customer for life. Comcast Business, beyond fast. Take your business beyond at ComcastBusiness.com.
Because it is indeed LeBron James, that human being is more worried about his image and his presentation than anyone.
He showed up at a game with a glass of wine.
It was a thermos of wine. It was like a tailgating, back to my point about him transitioning into a sorority chick. Like, that's what you would see in the Grove. That's
okay, let's put a finer point on it. Should he be mocked for this? You clearly are doing it. You're calling him a sorority girl.
Yes!
It's the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m., 92.9 FM, ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said,
I'm gonna have a good day, and all my homies gonna ride today.
That's right.
And all these homies look fly today, and all we wanna do is get by today. Hey, we're gonna have a good day, and ain't nobody gotta cry today. Cause ain't nobody.
Hey, is it raining? Is it raining now?
It was raining when I walked in. I don't know if it's currently raining.
You know what? I now, when it rains and stuff, because I now care about my lawn. Before, it used to be a wasteland. Just
correct.
A total wasteland. I didn't care if it rained or not rained. I didn't. Now I take pride in it. And so I want it to rain. And I want my grass to be lush and green. And it's all because of Jameson. I've said this before. But when they came out to look at my lawn, they tried their best not to make me feel bad about it. And then they went to work. And it's not just that I have people tending to my lawn now. I really feel like I have a full-time lawn consultant. And we talk about problem areas and we talk about progress and it's not, you just feel like a lot of lawn companies, they have a route, right? They get out, they do their thing, boom, back in the route. Here, like there's a reason that they've been doing this since 1939. And it's because they are vested in your lawn. Right? They care as much about it as I do, probably more than I used to. So whether it's pests, whether it's termites, whether it's mosquito control, or whether it's lawn care, give our friends at Jameson a call. Phone number is 452-1505, 452-1505, or jamesonpest.com. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
All right, so Chris Harrington was in here for Jessica Benson's stint. He was listening. He had his headphones on. He just left, but he had his headphones on. And he heard our Gibson riff, right? And this is what his view was on Gibsons. He said, Gibsons is not overrated. It's overexposed. In other words, it's as absolutely fantastic and awesome as everyone says it is.
Correct.
And I actually believe that to be true. Not necessarily because of just the quality of the donuts, but the quality of the vibe in there.
How quickly they move you through.
It's
like,
just
it's jam-packed, and you don't really wait that long, even if the line's out the door.
No, it has the friendliness and efficiency of a Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean? But it's also homier, and it's jollier, and literally we grew up going there Saturday mornings, almost every Saturday morning I'd go. Why? Because it's a happy place, and that's because of Don and his family, and they just make it feel like a happy place.
And a sugar rush.
And they throw donuts through the air at you. They've got a little bit of Lambert's going on. Mm-hmm. It's just
he, it's a happy place. And so, but I think, and then Chris likes the bear claw. That's his favorite, I think. And I think that's, no, apple fritter.
The apple fritter's good. I mean, I think bacon gets thrown on too much, but that, whatever, the caramel bacon donut is just, it absolutely is a fastball.
That's overkill to me. I don't need that kind of, just like a Jerry's, I don't need a Jerry's. I don't need ice cream in my
I can be a man of simple taste. I can go with the standard glaze, and I'm never like, oh, my God, I regret that.
No, I like the standard glaze. Okay, but here's the reason I bring this up is that the other day, Jared Boyd from the Daily Memphian asked for your unpopular sports opinions. And I ventured some. Not sports opinions. Unpopular Memphis opinions. Unpopular Memphis opinions. We've done the sports ones before, right? But the unpopular Memphis opinions. Some of these I have said before. It is amazing to me how this one stirs. I will tell you that I was loath to tweet this one out. Because saying something on the radio, it disappears into the vapors. You say it, right? But it doesn't necessarily, people don't remember it forever. The unpopular sports opinion. Well, first of all, here were a few of the other ones. One is Memphis drivers are just fine.
Yeah, you and I have talked about
that
this.
That was one. And it's not that I'm saying that every Memphis driver is a good driver. It's not that I'm saying that Memphis drivers signal like when they should. It's not that I'm saying that there are, if you get on 240, there aren't crazy-ass Memphis drivers who are driving 102 miles an hour. It's not that that's all true. I'm just saying that that's also true everywhere else.
Yes, and to prove your point, Mark and I were talking about it a couple of weeks ago. There was a study from the Department of Safety that looked at all cities in the state of Tennessee, and Memphis, for the biggest city, was by far the safest in terms of driving.
Is that really true?
Yes, safer than Nashville.
So my first unpopular Memphis sports opinion was the drivers are just fine.
Yes.
Second one, potholes are not a big deal.
Here. They're going down a path I can't follow.
The Memphis potholes are like, ladies and gentlemen, go live in Buffalo for a year where potholes are created. They have an ice age. Every single winter, they have an ice age that comes moving through and destroys the roads and creates potholes. Relative to any northern city, there are no potholes. I know it's a hugely common complaint in Memphis, but you people are potholes soft. I hate to say it. So that was my second unpopular. I got a lot of blowback on both of those. Then there's the one that you and I agree on totally, which is that the Rendezvous is so criticized that it is so frequently called overrated that it is in fact underrated.
Yes.
That's my next unpopular Memphis opinion. But the one that really gets me in trouble every single time, and I hate to say it because it's a local family, and I'm going to go back because someone tweeted me and said, you just lost a listener after I tweeted this. And I said that Pete and Sam's is terrible. And it is a polarizing, unpopular Memphis opinion because there are actually, I got about half the people who 100% agreed with me. And then I got a half the people who said they would never listen to or read anything I ever wrote again and wanted me to move back to Buffalo post-haste. It is a polarizing place, Pete and Sam's.
I'm conflicted on this because while I am a unequivocal Pete and Sam's homer...
You grew up with Pete and Sam's. It meant something to you as
correct. But I'm also...
As a Memphis institution.
Correct. And I love the food. Like, I genuinely love the food.
What do you love at Pete and Sam's? Well, tell me if... Here we go.
All right.
I'm going to go back to Pete and Sam's.
Yes.
I've done this... I think I've actually only been twice. Maybe three times. Each time I say, okay, 5 years has elapsed. I clearly got a bad day. I'm gonna try it again. And so I do. And each time I'm like, no. I tried it again. It was what I thought. What do you want me to order at Pete and Sam's?
I want you to get a pizza.
Okay.
I think their pizza is...
Just a thin crust. It's thin crust
thin
pizza.
Crust. I think it's arguably pepperoni. The best thin crust pizza. Yeah, if you want to do pepperoni, if you want to do Italian sausage, you want to do ground beef, I don't care. Get the
How's
toppings
it compare
that
to the
you like.
Memphis Pizza Cafe pizza?
I think it's better. And I like Memphis Pizza Cafe pizza. I'm not the people...
You want me to get a pizza?
Yes.
And then what else?
I think get a side of spaghetti. Start with the.
How about like a veal parmesan, or chicken parmesan?
It's fine, but
that's what I got last time. I actually think the veal parmesan. I think they brought me eggplant parmesan instead.
That's tough look.
I'm like, this is the worst veal I've ever had.
Yeah. Well, when you're expecting veal and you get eggplant, that's a lot to overcome.
Anyway, so all right. And what's your view on this? You are a fan. I want to give voice to the fans and acknowledge what it means, what it has meant to so many people for so long.
Correct. They have the best Italian spinach in the city, unquestioned. You got to get a side of Italian spinach. I would say if you're just going like by yourself, get the spaghetti and the ravioli combination with a side of Italian spinach and a side pizza, which is just a little 4-inch pizza that comes on the side. And I think you're going to change your opinion.
Now,
keep in mind, they used to have prime beef. Like, you used to be able to go and get, like, a freaking 16-ounce prime ribeye, two sides, a salad for, like, $24.
They don't any longer?
Now it's Choice. Now it's USDA Choice. It's not good.
When did that change?
A couple years ago.
Okay, the other thing that people have told me was interesting is that half the people have told me since the fire and the renovation, it's much better. And then someone out of the blue tweeted at me and said, used to be great. Since the fire and the renovation, it's not nearly as good.
No, I don't.
So people have different opinions on that as well.
Yeah, I just think in general, this is what I've told you what I struggle with. I'm a Pete and Sam's guy, through and through. But I would be a fraud if I didn't admit that at times Pete and Sam's does struggle with consistency.
Do you have an unpopular Memphis opinion?
Unpopular Memphis opinion.
Matt Pitts says he has all the same unpopular Memphis opinions that I have. Good for you, Matt Pitts. That, by the way, agreeing with me also tends to be an unpopular Memphis opinion.
I mean, I don't know if it's unpopular now, but like I was always in the camp that it was time to let Tony Allen walk. Like, by the
way,
I've always been in that camp.
There were others there with you.
I mean, again, I don't know if that was unpopular or not, but I was completely fine with that. In terms of where do I struggle?
Maureen Bernot, Pete and Sam's is not Italian food. Just ask an Italian. Me isn't even good for Americanized Italian. There we have this. Scalded. I like Pete and Sam's, but I liked Fazoli's too. But I like Fazoli. What's Fazoli's?
Fazoli's was fast Italian, and he's not wrong.
Is that true?
Wasn't bad. I think there's still one in South Haven, like right off 55. Not bad. Not great, but not bad.
Anyway, those are my unpopular Memphis opinions. What is coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. T. Morant, father of John Morant, will join them at 11:25. Rashad Phillips of Skills Unlimited will join them at 12:25. Jeff Goodman will appear as well. Jeff Zilgit of the USA Today will join us on Giannotto and Jeffrey. He'll join us around 2:25. Keith Easterwood today on GP. Jeff at 5 o'clock. Rick Pitino will join at 5:25. Make sure you're listening at 6 o'clock for the 6, highlighting the best of 92.9 FM ESPN.
You gotta love that Jason and John, after getting family members of every single Tiger recruit, now getting family members of Memphis Grizzlies.
You got to really love that. My dad would like to also submit one last suggestion for Pete and Sam's.
Yeah.
He says get the fried chicken.
Really?
Yes.
The fried chicken.
Yes. Let me tell you what. Big Jeff knows food.
I will report back, ladies and gentlemen, but we got to get out of here for now. Thanks for listening. Our work here is done. I don't like seeing other people be happy.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
There are few rites of spring more satisfying than the annual deep clean, but many homeowners fail to include their air conditioning system in this ritual. There are a lot of low-priced tune-up offers out there, but your air conditioning system is a big investment, so be sure you're trusting its maintenance to professionals, like Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning. Since 1970, we've been providing quality service at reasonable prices. Schedule your $95 precision air conditioning tune-up today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
Landmark. If you're you're ready to sell your home,
or if you're ready to find the home of your dreams, you need to call the Live Love Memphis Group today.
The website is livelovememphis.com. The phone number to call is 685-6000.
And the person to ask for is Jennifer Carstensen. She took care of me. She'll take care of you, too.
685-6000. Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget steak night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10 ounce filet or 12 ounce and 16 ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On steak night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house made ranch dressing and the twice baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. And find them on the web at bluemonkeymemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.